2 Corinthians chapter 2. We get the first four verses under our belt. But chapter 2, verse 5 doesn't start in a vacuum. I'm going to jump back up to verse 1 and read just to kind of give us a starting point, a place to launch from. I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. When 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. Now verse 2. For if I make you sorry, who is it that maketh me glad? But the same which is made sorry by me. And I wrote the same unto you, lest when I come I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice, having confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you, that with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Okay, I didn't show up when I said I was going to, but here's the deal, guys. People say, oh, Paul, he's not reliable. His words are, they're lightweight. You can't trust him. He's yes, then he's no. He's fickle. He's like, you know, the guy who puts his finger in his mouth, holds it up to wind to see which way the wind's blowing. That's how I feel. No, he's not that way, and he says he's not that way. And then he went on to say, don't, because, you know, the assault was, you can't trust him, you can't trust his message. And he's like, that's both of those things are wrong. But most assuredly, let me tell you what's definitely wrong, the message. God's not yay and nay. God's not fickle. He's not back and forth. He's yay. His promise is in one direction. It's not politically correct to say this, but you all know what I say. He's not an Indian giver. I watched this, The West, by Ken Burns. I wonder why the phrase Indian giver ever came into being. It should have been white man giver, because, I mean, I saw what we did. And I'm not trying to get all political here and stuff like this. You watch the series and you tell me what you come away with, okay? And I think it was pretty accurate. I think it was done fairly well. But anyway, all that to say, I digress. I always digress. All that to say this, God's not like that. He's not like, okay, yeah, I'll save you. Oh, you sin? Nope, you're out. Nope, out. Forget it. He changes mind. He's back and forth. Oh, you repent? Okay, back in. Oh, more sin? Back out. Is that the God you worship? It's not the God I worship. It's not the God Paul's presenting. He says his promises are yay and amen. They're not yay and nay. He's not back and forth. He says, and the reason that I didn't come last time, he says, you know, it would have gone well. It would have been very painful. I had to bring some stuff. I carry a big stick and you know, walk soft. And it would have been like walking tall. It wasn't going to go good. Last time I was there, that was a lot of heaviness, a lot of emotion. I had to address a lot of things. You wanted more of that? No, I thought it would be a good time to give you a rest and kind of back off and kind of... And so that's what the beginning there is all about. You know, it wasn't just like, hey, it wasn't yay and nay. It wasn't because I'm fickle. It's because plans change, because situations change. Now, he's talking about, in verse 4, out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. Not that you should be grieved. I'm not trying to get you upset. I'm not trying to make you cry. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But, verse 5, now all that just to get to verse 5. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgive it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest of my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now, this last section, we're going to leave that for last, okay? Say, what is this all talking about? If I cause any grief, overcharge, well, the sufficient of such a man. What man? Who are we talking about? What's going on here? You know what you ought to do? You ought to forgive that guy. You ought to bring him back into the fellowship. What guy? Now, I think he's the guy from 1 Corinthians 5. And when I say that, does anyone know who I'm talking about, 1 Corinthians 5? Only a few people, few nods, few hands. Good, because we're going to go there and we'll look at it. Some people say this is Paul's, the people who are contrary and saying, oh, you shouldn't be trusting them. Oh, I forgive them and stuff. If you forgive them, I forgive them, he says. But that would be the exact opposite. It would be, if I forgive them, you should forgive them. Kind of the idea if they've sinned against Paul. But beyond all that, he's talking about somebody they all knew. He doesn't use his name here. He doesn't use it in 1 Corinthians 5. Isn't that kind of a good thing? You were a sinner and God put your name in a book and put it around the world so everyone could read it, like, and you know, wrote your sin out, what you did. That would be kind of a bad thing. I'm kind of really glad he doesn't do that for any of us. And he uses this phrase, such a man. He uses it in 1 Corinthians 5. He uses it here. It's code. You know, such a one, such a man. Say, well, okay, 1 Corinthians 5, what are you talking about? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Let's go there. I wasn't really happy when I was discussing 1 Corinthians 5 as a passage. It's one of those passages you just soon skip over. Really? Yeah, there's a lot of Bible that's not easy to teach. I'm grace guy. I hate to lower the hammer and say, okay, you, out. There's the door, buddy. There's the door, sis, out. Are the words coming from me? Don't they sound a little strange? I don't like to say that. I don't like to teach 1 Corinthians 5. Do we need it? Yeah. Yeah, we do. Chapter 5, 1 Corinthians. It's commonly reported there's fornication among you. Listen, I wish it was not commonly reported that there was fornication anywhere in the Church of Jesus Christ ever, in any age, in any place, ever. But here in Corinth, in the first century, it's commonly reported. And it's been commonly reported in a lot of Corinthian churches since. I say Corinthian, I use that in the sense of, there's a lot of churches that have that attitude, that spirit. It's commonly reported, and look at it, it's such nasty, it's so icky, and such fornication, as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. If you feel like going, ew, go ahead and just do it. It actually kind of feels fun to say that, but and if you're not saying it, you're thinking it. That's nasty. I know, that's the point. That's why I don't want to talk about it. That's why none of us are really comfortable talking about it. Obviously, his stepmother. I don't think it's his mom, because it's his father's wife. It's not his mom, obviously. And you're puffed up. Look at the church. They're all bragging. Oh, you know, we are accepting, and we're just very affirming, and we're very, hey, I drive downtown. I see it on every church billboard. Oh, open and affirming. Open and affirming. Yes, if you're a sinner, come here. Put your money in our offering plates here. We're open and affirming. Yeah, you can sin here. We're good with that. This is Corinth. That's nothing new. That's nothing new. You think we invented that? Open and affirming? No. Corinthians, they got that 2,000 years ago. They're way ahead of us. You're puffed up. And if not rather mourn that he that had done this deed might be taken away from you. Now, I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit. I've judged already as though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. Hey, I don't have to be there. I don't have no effects. I know enough. Let me tell you my decision. Okay, I'm sitting on this tribunal that should have already happened. Let me tell you, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. What does it mean to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh? Listen, I have my ideas. I don't exactly know. I just hope it never happens to me. That can't be a good thing. That can't be a pleasant experience, right? Means he's going to hell? No, I think it means that let Satan have Adam, because at the end of that, his flesh, his fleshly nature, will be eliminated. Give him all the sin he wants. At some point, he's going to get sick of it. At some point, he's going to just be fed up. Listen, that's what we do. That's what we do. You want the illicit relationship? You want the drugs, the alcohol, the licentious immorality? We don't supply that here. There's a world out there, and they major in that. Have at it. And then when you're finally sick and tired of it, and if you're smart enough, you'll get sick and tired of it. That won't fill you up. It never does. When you finally have had enough, hey, you're welcome to come back. We miss you so much. We'd love to see you reestablished in Christ. We'd love to see you overcome that, whatever it is. Let's keep moving. Deliver such a one as Satan for the destruction of flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. I don't think he's losing salvation. I think he's losing everything else, though. Your glorying is not good. You're bragging about how open-minded you are and stuff like that. That's not good. Paul's like, I am so not impressed. Don't you know this? Don't you understand this? Haven't you got the memo? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, you bakers, you know that. Put a little yeast in, right? The whole lump rises, right? We get it. Leaven, always a picture of sin. Only always in Scripture. It's a picture, okay? You eat leavened bread, yeast rolls. They're very lovely. We're not. A picture is a picture, okay? We're not anti-leaven here in the sense of, I'm going to go to your house and make sure you got no yeast or nothing like that. You know, it's a picture because it corrupts by puffing up. And that it's a good picture of what sin does. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Why don't we care about sin? Hey, you're like living here with your stepmom in a fornication situation. Hey, we don't care. We're open and affirming here, right? I'm sorry, we're not at all okay with that. Why? Because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. What do you mean? Well, it's like, okay, you get Joshua at Jericho. You walk around seven times, seventh day, walk around once a day for 6 days, seventh day, you walk around seven times, bull trumpets, walls fall down, charge every man ahead, and boom, you're going to win the city. Don't you touch any of the spoil, because it's not spoil. You didn't win it. You didn't earn it. It's not yours. It's the dedicated, it's devoted thing. It's to the Lord. This is the Lord's battle. You ain't even fighting it, okay? So don't, walk around, thumping chest and, we're number one. No. This is the Lord's battle. The Lord's going to fight this. The Lord's going to win it, okay? So that's how it's going to play out. So all the things you get from the city, you're going to give to the Lord. We have a man named Achan said, hey, I got, a Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold, right? Or silver or gold, I can't remember which, right? And he hides it in his tent. And so then the next battle, they go against Ai, a little dumpy town. It's called dump. It means a heap. Ai means a heap. It's nothing. And they get routed, and 36 guys die. And Joshua's like, God, what's going on? We're losing to us, little we. And God's like, hey, sit in the camp. We could have said, don't you understand something, Joshua? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Does it matter how you live? Yeah. Yeah. Does it matter how I live? Yeah. 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 If I left my wife for another woman, would that matter? Would I still be able to preach here on Sundays? You okay with that? You say, I'm just not okay with the fact that you do something that's stupid. We got to have somebody smarter than that. You're saying you don't want me out, chasing women, smoking dope, acting all crazy, getting drunk, beating up people. You don't want me doing that. But it's okay. If you guys do any of that? It's not. I'm just one cog, one wheel in the whole engine. I'm just one part. We all make up the body. Does a little leaven a whole lump? Yeah. What's that mean? Because none of us are sin-free. Look, I never said I was sin-free. Listen, what I'll tell you what I am. I'm absolutely got all my debts paid up. Right now, at this moment, there's not anything going on in my head where I'm just like, I have this sin, and I'm entertaining it, playing with it, not addressing it, and I'm not sorry for it. There's not anything in my life right now where I'm like, am I like secret porn guy? No. What about in my mind? No. Do I have avarice or greed or anger? Do I have a lack of forgiveness? Do I have fear? Everything I see that way, as it starts to come out and play out, I take it to the Lord, I pray, I work furiously at maintaining this, not perfection. I mean, I sin every day, but I don't have you have to be that way. I know Satan, I know how he is. We'll see that here if I ever get back. Don't brag about this. A little leaven, leaven's a whole lump. Purge out therefore the old leaven. What does that mean? Kick the person out. Get rid of that guy. Deliver him to Satan. That's harsh. And by the way, it'll never work, Adam. It'll never work anymore. I mean, look, he'd just get up and go down to church. He'd be going to the next church. He's sitting there, extra butt in the seat, more money in the plate of somewhere else. Can't kick out all the sinners. Well, we can kick out all the unrepentant sinners, and we should. And if they go to church somewhere else, that's fine. If I heard they're going to church somewhere else, I would bother to call that pastor out of common courtesy and love and say, yeah, we had a deal with somebody. They were living with their girlfriend, smoking dope, whatever. And now they're coming to your church. And hopefully that pastor would deal with it. If we have that report, somebody's going to some other church, and they get disciplined there and they come here, I would expect that phone call. And I would tell that pastor what I will do. I would go and I would see that person and I would say, you're welcome here when you go back and talk to that pastor and make everything all right. And when he calls me and says, it's good, everything's good now, then you're welcome to fellowship here. If you don't do that, there's the door. We don't need that around here. See, that's tough. It's only scripture. I remember early on, we came back here, and the first place we came to was a little Baptist church in Corinna, Maine. And in this situation, the Sunday school superintendent, a woman, and I have a problem with Sunday school superintendent being a woman. I'm just saying she was. And a Christian, was married to a non-Christian man, and she left him for another man. And that was scandalous in the church, so we had to take action. We had to vote her out. Now, one, so we had church business meeting. That is such a bad idea. Church business meetings are such a bad idea. Listen, when we have them, I was thinking like a Google Hangout or something where everyone could just watch. If they're here, you can come. Our board, we go to business, we call them board meetings because I'm bored when I have them. I hate them. But we're with my friends, and they're good guys, and we enjoy our visit together, and they're very boring. They're Dullsville. We get out our, roll up our sleeves. Okay, I'm going to push this across, and I'm going to let these guys. I'm trying to think of when that happened ever. I had a friend that he's talking about like heating. You didn't want this new thing. I brought it to the board, and it was like big, and it would save money. And they like look at it, and they, nah. And I'm like, oh, okay. On the next order of business. I chair the board. I don't run the church. The board does, and they're perfectly free to vote me down. And what happens when they do? I don't know. Next item of business. It's no big deal. It's very, very boring. This guy bought the church because that's something about Baptists. Everyone has to vote. That's a bad idea. And by the way, I saw church members who I've never seen before. At that time, we were there almost a whole year. And then we had these church members come out who were voting who I have never seen. And you're a church member. You're voting? I don't think you vote on the will of God. I think you just do the will of God. Even in our meetings, we try not to. I mean, look, if it's something like this, we just kind of talk about it. We wouldn't take a vote. Can I entertain a motion that we, kick Joe out of church? We don't vote on that. We just talk and we kind of agree that's what needs to be done. I don't think voting on the will of God is a good idea, even if you vote in line with the will of God. God's will isn't to be voted on. God's will is just to be obeyed. That's how I feel. If you feel different, I'd be happy to entertain any scriptures you want to show me. I'd be happy to look at them. I've never seen anything, contrary to that. So he brought it forth, and so it was back and forth. It was volatile. Oh, let him without sin cast over. So what happens is they didn't vote her out. They voted the pastor out. The unmitigated gall to call somebody on sin. Who do you think you are? As far as I knew, I think she left her husband. They got divorced, and she lived unhappily ever after. I lost touch with her. I never knew what happened. I don't know the end of the story. I'd like to tell you, it worked out good. When we do it God's way, God's thinking, I think God's saying this. Thanks. Thanks for trusting me. Thanks for believing in me. Watch me work. I can fix this. I'm a redeemer. I know how to redeem. But we don't want to do it God's way. Oh, no. We're way smarter than God. If we kick them out, they won't be able to hear the gospel. Don't you worry. Don't fret. Just obey God. He knows how to do what he needs to do. He certainly does. And I know you get a soft heart, but I think churches all over the country fail in this, not kicking out the sinner when it's supposed to. What happens if you do it? I think what happens if you do it is 2 Corinthians chapter 2. If any have caused grief, this guy is living with his father's mom. He's not grieved me. Hey, I got no skin in that game. I'm okay with it. He doesn't grieve me. But in part that I may not overcharge you all, look, sufficient of such a man is his punishment that was inflicted of many. The punishment of you kicking him out, that's enough. What happened? He's isolated. Now his friends ain't taking him to the movie anymore. There ain't no movies back then. The plays, the theater. They ain't hanging out with him. They ain't asking him over for the house. They ain't having him over to play cards or whatever they did for recreation at the time. They would see him. They were like, hey, man, you got to repent. Love you. And he's just like thinking like, this is horrible. I used to have all these friends and now nobody will talk to me. Now nobody will hang out with me and stuff. And God got him to a place where he broke him down and got him to repent. This is a beautiful ending to a really ugly story. Sin is ugly. You know what's beautiful about sin is you can repent. My life is not beautiful except for the repent at the end part. Where I tell you, I'm. If you look at the history of my life, the things I'm not guilty of are like arson and cannibalism. Other than that, all bets are off. I'm not bragging. A wicked reprobate. I know people don't like to hear that. Deal with it. He saved a sinner. I love the fact that he saved me. My life before him wasn't, but. So here's the thing, and there's a prescription. Do what God says. He says, thanks for giving me a chance to work. Will I work? Yeah, only all the time. Sufficient to such a man as his punishment was inflicted on many. He said, contrawise, you ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Look what happened. The first thing that happened was they wouldn't put him out. Now they won't bring him in. Man, we're broken in both directions. Isn't that something? He's sinning, and they don't want to put him out. Now he's repenting. They don't want to bring him in. Don't fail in either one of these directions, okay? Don't be soft on sin, because you're not a benefit to anybody. Don't be a Pharisee, and looking for the, because you always find something. And we don't want to be broken in either direction. We want to be quick to forgive, quick to bring them back, quick to reestablish them. And we also want to be a little slower to kick somebody out. But there's a time when it's obvious and it has to be done. We'll take care of the kicking out part. We will. Be ready. Be ready in your relationships to receive people back. Saying, we're talking to some dear friends the other night, and the Casper's at house, I'm sorry, are magic words. The problem just got resolved. I don't care. She got mad at me. She poured gasoline on me and set me on fire. And then she repented and doused me out, and then she says, I'm sorry. I don't care if I'm still smoldering. Literally, I'm sorry. Oh, it's okay then. Problem solved. You say, not really, really. I don't wait for her to say she's sorry before I forgive her. Makes my life go so much better. Because I know a lot of you are like, when they come crawling back to me, guess what? They ain't coming. Memo, they ain't coming. And you are being swallowed up with bitterness. And it's just, it's going to poison all your relationships. Because I'm mad at my Uncle Joe who slammed my fingers in a door when I was 7. And I'm bitter at him. But I don't think bitterness is that easy to just direct in one direction. It just kind of gets out over everybody and everything. Always. So, forgiveness. Here, forgive this guy. Bring him back. He's sorry. He got the message. He's broken off the relationship, obviously. He's swallowed up in sorrow. Listen, when you've messed up like this, can it ever be made right? Yeah. Repent. I mean, what will happen in this situation? There'll be a few people who remember. I mean, at first, everyone knows what went on. After a while, you know, people come, people go. More people get added to the church. People aren't talking about it and stuff like this. That'll kind of go away. He might become like a bishop in this church later on, or a key member, like a pillar in the community or something like that. Just because you messed up doesn't mean you messed up for life. It doesn't work that way. And he's got an opportunity you ought to forgive him, comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. I beseech you that you should confirm your love toward him. Be quick to reestablish people. To this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. Look, I'm testing you, God says, when he's sinning. Now he's repenting, and I'm testing you again. Don't fail the test. Because my thinking is, sin's awful. A little leaven leavens a whole lump, and we have to deal with sin sometimes. Sorry. That has to be done. Unrepentant, obvious, flagrant sin. The list of people we've kicked out is very short. We don't do it quickly and for every reason, or we'd be having an emergency board meeting every day. We're all sinners. But don't pass the test, don't fail the test. Someone comes here and they're back and they're like, we know their sin was flagrant, it was obvious, it was horrible, they're back. They're repentant. Bring them back in. Yeah, but they're insincere. Don't ever go there in your mind, not even for a nanosecond. It's wrong. Can't judge the motives of anyone's heart. Guy says, I repent. That's good enough. I mean, what else do we have, right? Oh, my goodness. To whom ye forgave anything, I forgave also. Hey, you guys are good with it? I'm good with it. We're all good now. To whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it for your sakes, forgave I it in the person of Christ. Let me talk to you how Jesus feels about this. He's forgiven him. He's good. He's all set. Saying, really? Paul has the authority to do that? We all do. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He forgives sin. Now, whether you're contrite or real or repent, don't worry. God will work that out. I ain't nerved up about that. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. We are ignorant of his devices very often. Why? Because we don't put sin out. We don't put sinners out. Or we get all legalistic and we don't want to bring them back. We are ignorant of his devices if we don't pass these tests. I can say something. I know how Satan acts, right? So he's talking to this young man. She sounds sweet. She likes you. You know, this could go really good. Entices it, frames sin in such a way, wraps a bow on it, makes it all pretty. Stolen waters are sweet. How come I always end up with a mouthful of gravel? You gotta know Satan's devices. Stolen water is sweet. Consummate this illicit relationship. Churches, yeah, we're cool. We don't really and stuff. And then Paul writes, hey, no. Get rid of them. Oh, yeah, who are they to cast the first stone? Oh, they should take the beam out of their own eye. I know Satan goes. I know he plays. He quotes scripture too, doesn't he? Yeah. And he's listen, even the backsliders, you know that little ceramic bread bowl you have on your table? Even backsliders have that. You know, they got two verses in it. Let him without sin cast the first stone, right? Judge not lest ye be judged. I know Satan plays. And then, you know, he's perfectly okay with why he's sinner. I have seen some very, very bright men, for that matter, some very, very bright women say some of the stupidest things. I'll tell you something about sin. Your heart will make a convert of your mind. Your heart will make a convert of your mind. You will do something so horrible, and you will tell everybody why it's okay in this situation. The heart, it comes from a deeper place. The heart will make a convert of your mind. You have to keep working at getting your heart right with God. Not your mind right with God, because I think a lot of you can say, well, I know the scripture, I read this passage, I'm good with it, I understand it, I got the download. Great. Knowledge is great. But if your heart isn't involved, we call those people Pharisees. Yeah, they didn't quote the whole scripture to you, but their heart ain't in it. Jesus said, that's kind of a problem. Yeah, you can talk in scripture all day long, but if your heart's not toward me, you just got this ear relationship. The heart will make a convert of the mind. And then what Satan does, then you start to get, you know, no one's talking anymore. They've put him out of the church. And I'm sure Satan's like, he's thinking, well, maybe I really did mess up. Maybe the Spirit of God started working his heart. And what does Satan do? Forget it. You're too far gone. You're so bad, even God won't forgive you. How many of you ever thought like that? How have you thought like, don't raise your hand. I'm not trying to. You've heard Satan's voice in your own life. You know how he is. He's never for you. He's never trying to build you up. He's never trying to get you closer to Jesus. And at some point, we got to figure out how he is. We got to be not ignorant of his devices. I think the Church of Jesus Christ is very often ignorant of his devices. It makes me like, why do you do that? Why do you say that? Why do you be like that? Don't you see how you're... That's Satan talking. That's what Satan would say in this situation. You know what I mean? I'm looking at a lot of voices, a lot of faces out there, kind of blank, like, I don't know if I'm following you, son. Or you just all don't want to let me know, like, I'm so above this. Satan never, he doesn't even bother with me anymore. I'm so far above the fray. Look, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we're not ignorant of his devices. I think very, very often we are. And I think we have to pray and make sure that. Furthermore, when I came to Troas, beyond all this, furthermore, change the subject. When I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Isn't that good? Because if he does that, if God don't open the door, it ain't going to be open. But he talks in the letter to Philadelphia, I've opened the door, no one's going to shut it. You got a little power, don't you worry about that. I've opened the door, nobody can shut it. Why? Because I've opened it. And when I open the door, it will shut. When I determine it will shut. I love Jesus so much. I mean, I do. I love his authority. I just love everything about him. I am just insanely in love with Jesus Christ. He opens the door, and no one's going to be able to shut it. Not Satan, not, I don't care about his devices. At the end of the day, my God wins, okay? A door was opened to me of the Lord. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother, but taking my leave to them, I went from thence into Macedonia. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor. What's savor? You should know. What? savor, kind of like a flavor. Everyone's got King James here, right? You guys are like 900% King James. Nobody's got any deviation. Scent, aroma, fragrance, savor. In the Old Testament, like when they did the sacrifice, and God says, a sweet savor to me, sin offering. Thing was totally consumed. Priest didn't get any. The person who was sacrificing the animal, they didn't get any. God got the whole thing. And he said to me, I love the smell of that. You love the smell of burnt animal? Yeah. It reminds me of Jesus. All the sacrifices. Next time we're in Leviticus, remind me of just one of our best studies ever. Leviticus is a really tough book to read. It's a wonderful book to study. Jesus is on not every page. He's in every half of a phrase. You can't dissect anything out of Leviticus. It's all about Jesus. That sweet savor is Jesus. It's God's nostrils going, it reminds me of my son who was a sin offering to redeem mankind. Well, I'm saying that so now we know. Thanks be unto our God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Always, yeah? Yeah, you're in Christ, you win. Yeah, but I'm not doing very good. No. Ultimately, Jesus wins. You're in Christ, you win. Or you can take some deviation path different along the way. I don't know why, but we do. But ultimately, he's going to get you there. He always causes us to triumph in Christ, and he makes manifest the savor, the smell of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God, a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved, in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We are, to those who are perishing, we're the savor of death. We smell like death. What does that smell like? I don't know. Not pleasant, I'm sure. And to the ones who are being saved, we're the aroma, we're the savor, we're the odor of life. Not physical odors, okay? I like Pete. Pete smells the best of all of you. By the way, y'all smell nice, okay? I'm rarely around anybody. I think, oh, shower, dude, maybe after a day of work, and that's okay. If you're at the end of the day, you come into work like that. I hate that, but when a guy's, at the end of the day and he's all been sweating right through and stuff like that, we give him a hall pass. Pete smells good all the time, though. He's got that, polo. I love that. I'm going to get up close to Pete and sniff him. I think polo is tremendous. I think it's a sport too, because a lot of them things have like girly names and don't smell like passion or something. Beyond all that, listen, we reflect Christ. When people get around us and they're saved and they're like, and we're going to heaven and they're going to heaven, and that we have that sweet odor, we have that like, they just remind us of Jesus. And that's what the verse is telling us. To the one the savior of life unto life. What about a savior of death? Yeah, that's the more obvious one, I think, because there's more of them. You stink like death. What do you mean? I haven't changed. No, but they have. You remind them. You show up. You get a smile. You know something. You remind them at the end of this all, they're going to hell. Whether they have figured that out or not. There's a God. I'm in a heap of trouble. And you are that image bearer, the one carrying the message. Whether you're trying to or not. You show up fat, dumb, and happy, just trying to like love on people. And they're just, what are you with that? Can you cut it out? What do you think? We're religious too, And I'm like, well, I didn't say nothing, And do you live there? Have you experienced that? Because I see it very, 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 very often in my family, my wife and I. So we're just hanging out, having coffee. We're invited to one of these family things. It was last week, one of these family things, a birthday. This week, we want a family thing. It's a baby shower. By the way, baby showers, ladies, are for ladies, okay? Just in case you're wondering that. I got roped into this Jack and Jill kind of. We ain't giving you two presents, okay? I'll send my emissary. She loves it. I hate it, but we got to go because that's the thing, right? I won't try to cause trouble. I won't. You think I go to somebody's house with a chip on my shoulder? People get mad at me just when I walk in the door. No, I've seen this. My life says, I'm going to heaven, you're going to hell. Do you think I want to be that guy? You think I try to be obnoxious? Listen, I get obnoxious down to a science, okay? I can do obnoxious, but I don't try to. I'm not trying to turn people off. I'm not trying to, and just who we are makes people uncomfortable being around us. Have you seen that? That don't change. Don't. Yeah, I'll have a beer. Yeah, I'll have seven. Just I'll show you I'm a regular guy like you. Whatever. We don't want to be like every other man. Remember, Samson, if you put my, you know, braid my this and do that, I'll be like any other man. Hey, listen, men, we want to be strong. We don't want to be like any other man. And if people have a problem with the way we smell, I'm not talking about poor hygiene. I'm talking about this thing I'm talking about. We have this savor unto death to them. That's their problem, and they're going to have to work it out. Be ready with the gospel. Be loving. Don't let them persecute you because you're an obnoxious snot. Let them persecute you because you love Jesus. Why are they like that? Oh, my goodness. Why did Cain attack Abel? Why did Satan tempt Adam and Eve? Evil has always tried to persecute righteousness, only always. Write it down. It's going to happen. Here with the savor of life to some, or savor of death to others. Who's sufficient for these things? How can we work these out in ourselves? Who's sufficient for these things? I'm supposed to show up with this funky odor on me. I'm going to stink anyway. Might as well stink for Jesus, and I'm going to lead everyone to Jesus Christ. Who's sufficient for these things? Look at, you forgot the first part of the verse. Now thanks be, verse 14, unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Who's sufficient for these things? Jesus. Listen, you don't have to change the whole world. You have to love Jesus. You don't have to memorize the whole New Testament. It would be nice. It would be helpful. You don't have to open a Bible. Just quote it right out of your brain. It'd kind of be a good thing. You don't have to do that. Who's sufficient for these things? Jesus is. Just be his. He'll do his work through you. Will he really? Yeah, oh yeah. Seen it. I've lived with Christ a long time. I've seen it. I got people up in my grill work getting ready to hit me, calling me every unnatural name in the world. I never said anything. I mean, literally never said anything. Got this violent man like this close to me, just acting all like psychotic. You got company in there, bud? I can cast him out if you want, but you got to just take it down about 1,000. Why is that? You know. And Cain always will persecute Abel. Who's sufficient for these things? Jesus is. If we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Listen, one thing I always want to say, at the end of the day, the one thing I always want to just be able to say is, I'm just trying to teach you what I believe God wants me to say. I'm not corrupt in the word. I'm not getting wealthy here. I'm not trying to, I take all the health and wealth verses and say, if you give, and God will give you back a hundredfold, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. And Ron, my salary is, you know, tied into financial giving. I want to, 20% of take every given week, and I want to, and I'm going to tell you health and prosperity and all this. Well, whatever that feathers my cap. You know, I can, the other part about this too, is I can give 3 points in a poem. A lot of churches do it. You know, we take something out of Psalms. You know, God is good, God is better, and God is best of all. And I recite a little poem at the end. Everyone feels good, and we go home. We did religion for the week. I'm just going to the next verse, and the next verse, and the next verse, and the next verse, and the next verse. And the scripture will take us where it may. Now, sometimes there's a lot of comfort. I love those psalms. And sometimes it's challenge. Ugh. We got to be challenged. Sometimes there's rebuke, huh? Sometimes there's promises that God's promising us and we can rest on, and they're just like, yay, Lord, you're awesome, good. Scripture is what scripture is. We don't change it. I'm just going to pronounce it. I'm just going to teach it. We have a responsibility, and I fully expect that we will line up under it. And what scripture says is what scripture says, and that's how we're going to be, no matter what it says. I don't choose the topic. The topic chooses me. I think God, the other part about this is the message changes me. The thing that I'm talking about, the thing I'm teaching, it kind of affects me. I'd be melodramatic, teaching Jeremiah, entering in, understanding a little bit what Jeremiah went through. Don't want to. I don't even want to. I don't want to deliver the message. Hey, it's going bad, Babylon. Bad news. Children be dead in the streets. Women will be ravished, taken off into Babylon. Jeremiah says, no, I don't want the message. God says, do what I tell you to do. Good messenger, Jeremiah. Wasn't easy to live Jeremiah's life. I want to tell you, because I think a lot of people, I could do what you're doing. Please do. I was drafted, but you think I'm just going to teach the Bible and receive all the plaudits and accolades and people tell me how wonderful I am? Let me think about that for a minute. It didn't work that way. Someday you got to deliver whatever it is that's on next. I'm okay. I'm resigned to that. What it is what it is. If you don't like scripture, I told you before, if I step on your toes, you probably ought to be moving your toes. Not that I'm saying that I'm some sort of like, I'm speaking here ex cathedra and everything I say, this is thus saith the Lord. I'm speaking like I couldn't be wrong about this if I wanted to be. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm saying to the best of my ability, prayerfully, I'm trying to deliver the goods. If you're thinking like, well, I'd like to pass a church, think about that. It's not always happy stories. But I think it goes beyond that. I don't think you have to pastor church. I think you just have to be a good Christian. Sometimes you get to tell people really good stuff. The gospel, the good news. Do you know why the good news is good? Because there's bad news attached to it. You accept Jesus, you go to heaven forever. That's kind of good news. I remember I heard it the first time. Let me get this straight. I quoted myself almost verbatim. Let me get this straight. I give Jesus my sin and wickedness. He gives me his righteousness, and I give him my life. He gives me his. Guy's like, yeah, it's essential. That's it. Yeah, okay. Where do I sign up? Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, that sounds like a really good deal. That's a good new message to deliver, right? No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to believe in Christ. You're going to hell. That's not such a good message to deliver, is it? If you're faithful to the Lord, you'll deliver both. You just tell people what you feel that God wants you to tell them. That's all. It's no big trick. It's no big secret. It's no big mystery to it. Be faithful to Scripture. Think of what he's saying. We know as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We're speaking like we feel like Jesus would want us to say. Let's stand, let's pray. Matt and Ricky will send us out here in song. Thank God I didn't have a coughing fit. I've been not feeling 100%. If you guys have been praying for me, I thank you. I'm about, even from yesterday, I'm about 60, 70% better than yesterday. Yesterday I was a little bit miserable, but I'm rebounding. God's good. Let's pray. We thank you for your glorious word, Lord. You lead us in triumph all the time. We understand. We are what we are. People hate us. People love us. And we're not, it's not up to us. Who's sufficient for these things? You are. It's good to be your servant. It's good to, you know, look at this man of this ancient book. It sounds like what happened in our neighborhood yesterday. But we want to do two things, Lord. We want to put the sinner out. I hope it never comes to that. I hope people repent before we have to do that. And I hope we're very quick to bring sinners back in our own lives. I hope we're very, very quick to, like you are, looking out on the end of the row, waiting for that prodigal to repent, to come back to you, so that we can celebrate, kill the fatted calf. Lord, we understand that's your heart. Make it be our heart as well. We want to be gracious, Lord. We want to be forgiving. We want to honor you in this. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.